When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to the hump. It's September 18th, 2024. Occasionally, Jimmy and I sneak an episode in.
Yeah, every now and then.
Here and there. Last week, I was sick. Like, I didn't think I'd be able to do it, but I got through that. Next week, I'll be in New York. I'm going to try to do something next week. I don't know how I'll do it, but obviously I had not planned on the Vince McMahon docuseries to drop the day that I went to New York. I am going to download those episodes, try to watch them as I travel and bring some sort of review or something like that. I've thought about maybe having In the Weeds do a special main channel show that day, because I feel like that's something that should be covered almost immediately. But by God, we're here right now. We got Jimmy Van. Leave a thumbs up. If you're here, let's do a roll call, drop some fruit emojis, drop some super chats, drop some humper chats, the thumbs ups, all that good stuff. Our dude Rob is here. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Sean. Speaking of the Vince doc, how honest do you think it's going to be versus creating a narrative about Vince one way or the other?
So I can tell you some of what I've heard from people, and we had this on our free tier of FightfulSelect.com. Please go subscribe. The people that I spoke to in WWE, nobody will defend him, at least to me. And why would they, right? Like, first off, if they defend him to me, it's probably like that conversation's not going to go well. But also, what benefit do they have of defending him to me as opposed to somebody else? But the way that a lot of people in WWE told me that they expected it was they thought that Vince and the opening line of the trailer, oh, I'm not a bad guy, blah, 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 was to get people to go, oh, yeah, but he is, and to retweet the trailer. And also, when Brandon Thurston reported that they were going to outline the allegations and things like that at the top of the show, people in WWE that I spoke to believe that they did that to sort of help the people who may have spoken about him glowingly in interviews that were filmed before those allegations surfaced, because a lot of these interviews were done before that, obviously, right.
And they got everybody, like Rock and Cena and everybody.
Yeah, and I know that there are definitely a lot of people that regret doing those, but yeah,
I'll be interested, because If the docuseries is about his life, they have to talk about the things he did for the business.
Sure.
Because he deserves a lot of credit for what he did for the business. But if the point of the docuseries is about the allegations and kind of the dark side of Vince, then you got to go in a different direction. I don't know if you
think
one and not the other.
I think regardless of whether it's about his life or not, that is a part of his life.
Oh, 100%.
Like that. So, I mean, they got to cover that. They need to cover it heavily.
Yep. Going back 40 years too.
Going back 40 years. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I'll be interested. No, I'll be interested if, you know, like I said, I hope it's an honest, factual thing, you know? I mean, from a business perspective, the decisions, the risks that he took, WrestleMania 1, he put everything on the line. And if WrestleMania 1 hadn't worked, he would have filed bankruptcy. So he deserves credit for that. But like you said, 40 years, he's had this reputation, and these allegations now are criminal if they're proven in a court of law.
Yeah. So oh yeah.
I'll be curious. I'm curious how they are in terms of honesty versus fact. And, yeah, I guess that's it. I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah, hopefully, I hope that it's covered in the appropriate manner. I mean, at least on the surface, people in WWE are washing their hands of him. Yeah. We'll see how that is implemented as time goes on, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there are some people that don't want him blowing the whistle on them. You know what sure. I mean? Like there's a whole lot of people like that. And we've already seen John Laurinaitis in self-preservation mode almost yes. immediately. But there's a whole lot of people from that old regime that are, you know, probably biting their nails and
yeah,
concerned about Johnny what Ace, might get mentioned.
Johnny Ace flipped, remember? So now he's with Vince again because he flipped.
Did he
but, flip again? Yeah, remember? Because they decided it'd Jesus be better for their Christ. Case if they get together, right? So they joined forces. But you look at some of the veteran talent like Taker and Mick Foley and guys that don't want to shit on Vince because he did a lot for them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to talk about that. I'm sure they're going to talk about what Vince did for them, but they weren't blind to it. Like I'll refuse
and I mean,
to believe they were blind to it.
Many of these interviews were conducted before the allegations emerged.
Right.
Although I'll say this, there are a lot of people with Mick Foley, with John Cena, with Bryan Danielson, with The Undertaker. They do not seem like they have changed their stance that much. And that's very disappointing. It's incredibly disappointing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, years of loyalty, I guess, to the career side. I don't know. I can't speak for them, but I, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't give a shit. Like Jimmy, I've got years of loyalty for you. And I know you would never do anything like that. But if you or my best friend had done the things that he is accused of doing, tough shit. No good. That relationship's over. That friendship's over. That loyalty is over. Absolutely not. No. So, I mean, I don't have respect for that in that, that situation.
Yeah. The only thing I want to do is I want to wait to see that things are proven. You know what I mean?
And I mean, and listen, that's fine, but, this is a pattern of behavior.
Yeah. No, don't disagree.
And especially established pattern of behavior.
NDAs and you know, yep. He paid hush money, which they have proof of. I mean, yeah, that, you know, that tells you everything you need to know.
We got super chats and humper chats here. And then we're going to talk about the big subject after we do a little break. Well, actually we'll get to that one, but love the new time slot, guys. Yeah. Jimmy's moved us up to two. I'm pretty fond of it as well.
I am
pretty fond of it as well. Yeah. Alan says, finally made it to a live hump day. Glad you guys could get together. Thanks. Well, so glad that you're here, by God. And RJ Suburb says, did you see this week's Hey EW? Malenko was asked about camels and humping, said he only humps on Wednesdays. Funny coincidence or guerrilla marketing for the Fightful team. Thanks for Fightful. Well, if there's one thing I know about RJ City, it's that he loves to put over Fightful without getting paid for it. So I would almost guarantee that this was RJ City saying, how can I help out those wonderful gentlemen at Fightful? How can I make them more popular? How can I do that? I will say this. Dean Malenko is one of the funniest human beings I have ever interacted with.
Heard that about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you film my interview with him or was it Andrew?
That was me. Oh, that was me.
Okay. He was so funny. He was so wonderful. You know, it's funny because when I was throwing out new name ideas, the hump was the big one that I wanted. And I was like, man, the only reason I don't want to do it is because I feel like people would think that it's a rib on the bump.
Yes.
And it wasn't. And now the bump's not around. R.I.P.
Malenko being typecast as a wrestler. He was like the most straight-faced guy on television.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Do you want to
love wrestling? I want to get the super chats.
Do it.
Be the quarterback, God damn it.
All right, I'll let you be the quarterback.
Hey, friends, just saying hi. Thanks for being great people and putting out great content. Training camp starts today. Let's go, Oilers. How you feeling about the Oilers? And shout out to our friends, Love Wrestling.
They got to work on their defense, but they got plenty of time to figure that out. I learned something about the Toronto Maple Leafs just today.
What's that?
Just today. They have never in their history, Sean, in the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs, they've never played a fourth round in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Really?
Never in their history. In the old days, the teams that won cups like 55 years ago, they only had to play one or two rounds to win a cup back then.
Wow.
Yes. In their history, they've never played a fourth round in the playoffs. And when I read that, I thought, wow, I lost even more respect for the Toronto Maple Leafs somehow.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild. And I'm not surprised.
Really? You're not surprised?
Not surprised. Yep. At all. At all. We got Jared saying, when it was reported WWE was going to be using outside artists for Def Rebel, does this mean they would license song from cheaper artists and still have their own music team to work with those artists to make like Jim Johnston? They will always have somebody in-house or third party in-house to do that. I feel like that is very important to outline. Again, I cannot confirm those reports. We've been working on our own Def Rebel story for quite a few months. Me and or Corey and I have been working on that. So we definitely have our eyes on that. And my God, a lot of people have their eye on AEW, their new TV deal, where pay-per-views are going to land, how much money they're going to be spending. But I'm going to go ahead and save you guys some money right now. There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful. A nice hack for football fans that I've mentioned that actually Denise let me know about because her husband used it. If you don't want to pay for Sunday ticket, you can get NordVPN and then just change your virtual location to the local area of the game you want to watch because almost all these games are broadcast locally. It's, man, saves you a ton.
Interesting.
But, oh boy, Jimmy, we got a lot to talk about with this AEW TV deal. So I'll sort of let you take it away.
How many receipts are you going to post on social media?
Honestly, I went through my bookmarks yesterday.
Of course you did.
And I've got so many receipts that I've saved up since all that I'd have to go back quite a way.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Listen, there are just some people that are very ridiculous. It's funny because you'll always have people say like, oh, AEW is going to be off TV. They won't get a new TV deal. And I've said probably a dozen times, and Andrew Zarian and a couple others, I'd be like, listen, I will make you a $1,000 bet to a charity of your choosing. Mm-hmm. They're getting their TV deal. It's going to be a significant increase. Mm-hmm. And then those people disappear. It's almost like people like that are engaging in bad faith. Mm. But FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the freaking business, or $54 a year, reported last month that they had already been offered double their previous deal. Now, it was important to note at that point, I did not have context as to what was included in that package or what their original offer or their original deal was. We have estimates and mm-hmm. stuff. Thank God Brandon Thurston exists, and he does a really great job on that. Please check out WrestleNomics, guys. But that was sort of solidified this week, Jimmy, with some of the reporting that has since emerged. And Fightful Select has followed up, but I'll kind of let you take it away. I'm handing the ball to you, Jimmy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
We're running a reverse play, and now you get to throw the ball up the field. I'm the quarterback. I'm going to run up the field.
Right.
I've handed it to my running back, and now I'm just waiting for the pass.
And when I somehow toss it out of the zone by accident, then we'll just send it right back to you. But so
yeah, I'll do the press conference and blame you.
John Oran from Puck News reported on Monday night that AEW's new deal is essentially going to be a 3-year deal worth in the ballpark of $170 million a year with a 1-year option, meaning that it could potentially be 4 years. Don't know whose option it is. Do you know? Because at this point, it's still a report, right? Yeah. So we don't know if it'll be Warner Brothers' option or AEW's option to pick up the 4th year. Oran also says that AEW will air twice a week on TNT, TBS, and True TV, which is part of True TV's strategy to become more sports-oriented. And the announcement could come as soon as next week. He also says that AEW is still pitching an additional package to broadcast networks, which feeds into that Fox rumor from a couple of weeks ago. And as you just mentioned, so I've talked to Brandon Thurston a fair bit about this, and I had asked him previously, what is AEW currently getting paid? Because nothing's been publicly, reported on it. And he estimated around $75 million a year on the current deal. If that's the case, then if they get $170, obviously that's more than double what they're currently getting. Now, it's not going to be apples to apples in terms of what Warner Brothers is getting, because according to the Puck News report, they're going to air twice a week on 3 networks. So that means that AEW is going to be adding content. And given that multiple, I'm thinking streaming is going to be included, possibly pay-per-view as well. But before I get to my next point, have you heard any specifics on what this deal could cover in terms of streaming rights and pay-per-view?
Somewhat. So this is way more complicated to cover, as I had outlined on Twitter, because with WWE, we know their strategy. They had a very, very smart strategy of, we'll put a bunch of stuff on the network, then we'll license that individually. They license Raw individually, NXT, even Speed, SmackDown, their PLEs and libraries, and now their documentaries. With AEW, it's very clear they wanted more of an all-encompassing package with WBD, but they also seemed like they had a number they wanted to hit. We've heard that 1 billion number, and it's not necessarily the 1 billion number that they wanted to hit so much. Mm-hmm. It seemed like the 200 million a year as a part of what they get for their media rights package. So what that means is $200 million a year times 5, which is the normal length of deals like this. This one will be 3 years with a 1-year option. Averages or ends up being $1 billion. That's where the one bill fill thing came from and all that. If they get 170 million, that is very close to that 200 million. Now, it was indicated to me that that figure, at least internally in AEW, is not believed to include the pay-per-views. Now, I'm not saying pay-per-views won't be on Max. I'm just being told that that is something else they're talking about. So last year, I had talked about how AEW and WBD had been deep into conversations. This is not a new talk. They've had this talk for a long time. Max has tried to get AEW to put their pay-per-views on that platform for quite a while. There were a few things along the way that happened. Tony wanted to shop everything together. He was pretty happy with their pay-per-view revenue, which I don't know what their cut is, Jimmy, because pay-per-view platforms are more robust than ever before.
Usually half.
Used to be half. I don't know what it is now. I can try to find out. But I mean, if they're doing 100,000 plus at what, $40 a pop, that's a good amount of money. That's between 20 to 25 million a year at the pace that they're doing pay-per-views. That alone gets them very close to that 200 million number. Then Fightful had reported a couple of very interesting things. I was doing the old Brian Windhorst this year. Now, why would they do that? Fox. If this were 4 years ago, Fox would have been completely out on wrestling. So Fox got that WWE deal and pretty quickly felt like they were sold a bill of goods, specifically by Vince McMahon. And that's because he stopped going to the shows. He stopped showing interest. Then the pandemic happened and he was around way too much. And they're like, oh man, you know, the monkey's paw situation, like be careful what you wish for. And they felt like the care wasn't given to the show. That clearly changed a lot more when Roman Reigns was on there and all that. And they didn't necessarily have that disdain for wrestling in WWE. However, the MLW thing happened. The lawsuit happened. WWE wasn't too thrilled there. When the regime change took place, that relationship improved significantly, is what I was told. And Fox did not feel disenfranchised or lesser than as a result of their WWE relationship as it existed under Vince. So they had shown interest in MLW. Why is that interesting? Well, it's interesting for a couple of reasons. They had landed a Tubi deal. Tubi is important because Tubi is a true cord cutter platform. I mean, no subscription, no paywall, don't even need a login. If you don't have cable, you're on Tubi. Now, you can do that on YouTube as well. Lots of options there. However, earlier this year, Fightful Select had reported that Fox had been interested in another pro wrestling program, and it wasn't AEW. I know what it is. I can't say it yet, but it was like a seasonal format thing. Then word comes out that AEW and Fox had had some interaction about a potential show. I don't know what that is. As Crazy 101 says, do you think a AEW Shockwave or ROH, where do you think they goes? I don't know what Shockwave is yet. But what I'll tell you about Shockwave is that the trademark led to people within Fox and AEW saying, I think there's a possibility that these two sides might work together. And if you're AEW, you want to, in any capacity with Fox, whether it be the network, whether it be FX, FXX, Tubi, any of those. I think you just want to get on as many platforms like that as possible, sort of like what WWE has done. And if they get 170 million, if they're getting 20 to 25 million for pay-per-views, whether it be guaranteed by WBD or selling it themselves, and they can get a Fox deal that pushes them up a little bit more to that 200 number, man, this is an even bigger success than it appears on the surface. And make no mistake, the 170 number alone is a massive success for AEW.
Sure, absolutely. And I agree with you. Anything they got to do to get into the Fox family. Because you see what WWE does, right? WWE is with NBC Universal. They've got now SmackDown on USA, and it leads to specials on NBC. So if AEW gets into the Fox family, and if they can put up some numbers, next thing you know, they got a special on Fox. So I agree.
Somebody highlighted to me FX and FXX are Disney-owned. I completely forgot that. Completely forgot that.
Well, they got FS1. They got FS1.
Yeah, they got FS1. And, so,
and Tubi as well.
AEW would be a top viewed program on FS1. That's the thing. Like, people look at it and they go, well, why would they want Collision or Rampage or Shockwave when it does? Go look at the numbers that show does, that the shows do on FS1. They're not great numbers.
Right.
So that's why they would want that. But can you confirm or deny that Rampage hasn't been renewed and will be replaced with Shockwave? No, I can't confirm that. But what I can say is, I heard there were some materials prepared for next year for WBD and that Collision and Dynamite were featured, but Rampage wasn't in the thing that was talked about. Now, that I can't confirm anything. I can just tell you that's what I had heard. Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceovers, who sponsors our ROH show occasionally, says, does Collision move nights? Could ROH be on True TV? ROH is something I haven't heard brought up at all. It doesn't mean it's not been brought up. Mm-hmm. I just haven't heard it brought up. If I were AEW, I would badly want Collision on a Thursday night. It is a dead spot on Saturdays. They already film it on Thursdays sometime. I would want it on Thursdays.
There's also speculation that they might simulcast in terms of having Dynamite maybe on TV plus streaming it on Max at the same time. And you know, one thing that'll happen, if that happens, you know what that's going to mean, Sean? This whole TV ratings report thing is going to be a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Because in January, Raw goes to Netflix. And then if they simulcast Dynamite, it's not really going to matter. Let's say,
SmackDown on USA. Yeah. SmackDown on USA. But that's about it.
That's about it, right? So that'll be a thing of the past. So that would be very interesting. Now, some people would be.
Sorry. And I couldn't be more excited for that. Like, I care about the numbers when they're really, really terrible or really, really great.
Right.
But other than that, like, I do not know. I don't cover the Raw viewership on a weekly basis or anything like that. I just, if they're healthy and they're making money, I don't know.
Some people might wonder, well, why would Warner Brothers pay so much for an AEW extension, given that AEW, they have been declining in terms of their numbers? There's actually a lot of reasons why. Like, this makes sense for a lot of reasons. For one thing, cable television has declined now to the point, just in the last few years, live content's really the only thing that ranks weekly on cable, whether it be live sports or whether it be live news. That's why AEW, even though the numbers are lower than they were in 21, they rank higher every week, because live content's really the only thing that ranks. And the pre-produced stuff, you know, like comedies and dramas, that's not appointment viewing anymore. Remember Walking Dead? We used to like watch it on a Sunday night at whatever the hell, 9 o'clock. None of that stuff is appointment viewing. It's all binge watched on
the Walking Dead spinoffs do like less than 10% of what Walking Dead used to do.
Yes. Yeah. It's just a different landscape. And so that's one thing that AEW provides, is that they always rank high in terms of the weekly cable numbers because it's live content. Then secondly, I think Warner Brothers losing the NBA rights really helped AEW.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
not only did they lose their biggest ratings juggernaut, their biggest ad seller, but it's going to impact their carriage fees. Is a massive revenue stream for Warner Brothers. TNT was a sought after channel by the cable subscribers. It's not going to be so much now. Why would you risk losing your other sports franchise, which essentially is what AEW would be? So that's another reason. And then the third reason, the obvious one, Warner Brothers needs content for Max. And AEW can provide 52 weeks a year. And if they simulcast 52 weeks a year of live content, so it makes a lot of sense.
Get the library as well. I think that would be important because nobody has the library right now.
Right.
New Lack City says, what's up, guys? Like the new time slot, SRS, we need to bet on my Giants versus Bengals. I'd do that as long as the Bengals don't completely implode. Is the ROH show on True TV? What dates and times? And Cairo says, if ROH is not included at all in this deal, what do you think it becomes of the brand perception-wise? I don't think you could do much worse for it perception-wise. I mean, full stop, I'll give you guys some backstage news here. I had told somebody within the company, hey, we're probably going to stop reviewing ROH soon. Like, it's nice to give Kate and SP3 a payday there, but like, even they are like, nothing happens of importance on this show. Mm-hmm. And before the Texas tapings, they're like, well, there's supposed to be added importance here. And it was assured to a few people, and it just hasn't happened. So I honestly feel how this TV deal lands will determine, you know, a few of the post shows that we have right now. Like, will we be doing an ROH post show if there's no more care given into it? Probably not. Probably a wrap up for pay-per-views or something like that. If there is an established B show, why are we doing a full-on review of that if nothing consequential happens?
Is Ring of Honor still overseen by Tony, or does he have someone that does it for him?
He oversees it. He does have help with it, though.
Okay, because I was going to say, if they're going to be adding content as part of this deal, like if they're going to be adding additional hours, there's only so many hours in the day. How the hell can he continue to oversee Ring of Honor with more content that they create, plus Fulham FC, plus the Jaguar? Like, it's very difficult. Like, how are you going to handle all that? You know?
Cairo says that hate to see the ROH post show go away. We'll see. We'll see. We've got Scott Lopez, who sent a very generous one. Says SRS, never thought I'd say this. WWE has sparked my interest with the signing of Stephanie Vaquer. I mean, listen, she's very good. I think that that should spark people's interest for sure. What are some ways AEW can regain lapsed fans? Psych, let's talk TV deal. Hopefully the AEW discourse will stop now. Oh, we got plenty of talk about that, Scott. Sorry I didn't read this until now, but I mean, obviously, I think we've done you happy talking about the AEW TV deal here. But New Lack City also says, at what point do some of the anti-AEW podcasters get called to the carpet for being so wrong? Not the trolls you dunk on, SRS, but the people the IWC think are respected. These people bet big on AEW not getting renewed. I personally never understood the idea of like putting the eggs in the AEW's not getting renewed basket. Mm-hmm. When it comes to other people's content, I've said this numerous times this week. I live and let live. You'll see people say, Sean Ross Sapp's a bully. Well, you can go back and look at anytime they've said something horrible about me, I've dunked on them. That's why they're mad. But like, as far as other people's content, I don't really care if they're not making personal attacks like at me or people that I know and care about and love. I don't really care what they talk about. You can tune that out. There's a ton of people in the podcasting space and the talking head space that I've just tuned out. And some of them I've got good relationships with. Like, I know a lot of people look at Eric Bischoff as anti-AEW. I get along great with him. I've learned a bunch from him talking to him in the past. So like if it's something I don't agree with, well, that's his opinion. He's more than willing to have it. I don't have to agree with it. I just live and let live in that sense. But I think a lot of people in those situations, they're certainly going to be subject to some receipts for sure.
I think that some of the people that said they weren't going to get a deal, it's almost like they had just found their niche from an engagement perspective. Because like for the reasons that I just explained, how could you have thought they weren't? You know what I mean? So it just, like I said, they're ranking better now. Dynamite ranks better now than they did in 2021 with numbers that are probably 40% down from where they were in 2021 because the rest of cable TV's gone to shit. So like there's value in that. Being able to provide content for Max, there's value in that. Like I just don't understand why people didn't think they were going to get a deal. Now, did I think they were going to do 200 times five? I never did. Like from the very beginning, I said, I thought Warner Brothers was going to look for 3 years and Tony was going to look for five. And I think that this is a perfect bridge. Three with an option, that's your bridge, right? So to me, this makes a lot of sense for both sides. It does. And anybody who thought they weren't going to get a deal, I feel like it's just an engagement ploy. Like what else could it be?
Matt Hennessy says, we live in an exciting time wrestling. In wrestling, WWE and AEW are both thriving. Both have their flaws, but I think TK and Triple H do a good job. We got the Hurt Syndicate heading to AEW. Well, that's a maybe, Matt. We had reported on that on FightfulSelect.com as well. But Lucha Bros and Motor City Machine Guns heading to WWE. Wrestling is fun, and I'm here for it. Yeah, it's a very healthy situation right now where we're looking at people with options and we're looking at people who are getting big TV deals. Jimmy, I remember, I can't remember if it was 2014 or 2015, but it looked like wrestling on TV was headed towards perhaps a little bit of a boom. WWE's content was not good by any stretch, but Global Force Wrestling had started and people had some hope for that. Mm-hmm. Lucha Underground was on TV. Ring of Honor was on TV. New Japan was on TV. TNA was hanging around and doing, you know, doing what TV deals they could, but there were a lot of options on TV. I remember there was a Paragon Pro Wrestling that did a time buy on TV or something. There was so much on TV. And then within like a year, so much of that went away. TNA couldn't stay on a network. New Japan's, you know, deal was here and there, and they were growing, which was great. Lucha Underground was off TV. Global Force never became anything. It was just like, it's good to see it finally hit a spot where it's like, okay, we've got WWE doing great with a bunch of brands, AEW doing great, and they've got their own sub-brand as well, even though you can think about how you feel about that. New Japan, they've got their little spot back on Access, which is just old content, but it's easy to watch them. You can see them. And TNA is doing their thing. And honestly, they're more successful than they've been in quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, the business has just changed. Can you imagine in 2000 if wrestling was perceived the way it is now by the cable companies or by the distributors? ECW would have gotten a paid deal. WCW would have been different because they were owned by a distributor unless they licensed it to a different distributor. But otherwise, it's a different world now. And so that's why, even when you see all of this discourse about attendance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people are posting pictures of like an empty arena for AEW. Do you think they give a shit, Sean? So long as they make it look good on television, TV's where they're making their money. I mean, it's like you talked about last week, WWE's cutting live events, right? TV's where they're making their money. And AEW, when they sign this new deal, they're going to be very profitable. And a lot of people don't want to hear that because they have this hate on for AEW, but they're going to be very profitable. And so kudos to them.
Crazy 101 says, do you think Dark returns? Thoughts on a brand split? Dark is a thing that had to go away because when they signed the Collision deal, WBD worked in exclusivity. AEW really liked doing Dark. Like, they thought that it got their talent reps and opportunities. They've got footage of like Thea Hale and all kinds of people because they did Dark, and it helped them get eyes on a lot of people. It got Will Hobbs hired, got a lot of people hired. I think it could return occasionally. I don't think it'll be a regular thing. Thoughts on a brand split? It boggles my mind when people ask about an AEW brand split. Why would you want to limit that? You've already got people that can't or don't work Saturdays or Wednesdays and stuff like this. If they didn't do a hard brand split with CM Punk at the top, they're not doing one now. And now we're talking about without Punk, Sting ain't there, Brian Danielson's wrapping up, mm-hmm. Kenny Omega is sick, Adam Cole ain't there, Britt Baker hasn't been on TV since All In. No, I don't think they're doing a brand split at all.
Mm-hmm. And they're also now, because they've been around 5 years, some contracts have been expiring too. So when they had that inflated roster, it's starting to kind of lean itself out a little bit. So yeah, I agree with you.
Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. We are here to talk with you guys about whatever it is you want to talk about. People mentioned MJF is off. Swerve might be taking time off. A whole lot. I mean, yeah, they give people time off more than other companies as well. Do you think Fox will want its own champions? No. Anything, I don't think that Fox and AEW are going to come to some like big deal or something like that. Mm-hmm. Chris says, do you think they get rid of Rampage and replace it with Shockwave on FS1? Rampage was a show that they kind of like got pressured into doing by WBD, if I remember right. And Collision was a show that they had to do because CM Punk didn't get along with everybody. So to just like get rid of Rampage and just do a new thing, I think people will just view it as Rampage. I think that's how people will look at it.
I think they're going to eliminate it and add a third hour to Dynamite, because they've experimented with that for months, and that can't be by accident. So I think that's where they're going. Quick thing for you, just because I've seen it all over the chat. Can you look up Rikishi's post on Twitter?
Buddy, I covered that before we were ever even on the show.
Oh,
do the research.
I've been busy today.
Rikishi posted some ominous stuff, and I hit up people and it's like, oh, pray for Jimmy. And I asked and people were like, man, I just talked to him. He's okay.
Okay.
So if it's something beyond that, then it's a him thing and it's his to put out there. But as best I know, he's been sidelined and I haven't heard of him coming back or anything soon. TK Doc on FS1 tonight, where there's smoke, there's fire. So this was the NFL Films thing that they did, which was kind of interesting. But yeah, this is on Fox Sports 1. Mm-hmm. Tonight at 7:30, NFL Films presents a day in the life of AEW GM and CEO Tony Khan.
Isn't that interesting?
During the NFL draft and the live Collision that evening. So Fightful had reported this past week or that week that they had to do Dynamite and Collision in Jacksonville so Tony could be there present for the Collision tapings and the draft. And it was him going back and forth between those two areas. So yeah, it's kind of cool. Kind of cool.
I mean, obviously it's on FS1 because they got the NFL contract, but again, it makes sense that people rumor Fox because of that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Interesting. Are we ready to move on?
Yes, we are, Jimmy.
We got some potential news that I love, Sean.
Ready to move on to big fat boners.
You know, Fightful and Blue Chew have been at it a long time. Maybe you've been at it a long time. Maybe you're lacking that motivation. Maybe you're lacking that confidence. You don't think you have what you once had. Blue Chew is here to get you there. BlueChew.com and the code Fightful. You'll get your first shipment free of what? Well, it's a chewable tablet that has the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So it gets your performance ready to go. It's prescribed online. It ships straight to your door. You do an online consultation, and if approved, you'll be back to that main event level performance. Sometimes it's not even about performance. It's about that confidence. And Blue Chew is going to make sure that you have that. Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Your first shipment free. You just pay $5 shipping. What is there to lose? BlueChew.com and the code Fightful.
Pat says, with WWE Network shutting down at the end of the year, what's the plan for the library in Canada? Is it all going to Netflix or somewhere else? Haven't heard about the library. I know the events.
I've heard Netflix for Canada. There, yeah. I've heard that. I've heard Netflix for Canada. But like how many, you know, SummerSlam 96. How many people are going back and looking for that, Sean?
More than you would expect. It's the ability to.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Yeah. Yeah, I believe for international, for Canada, UK, it's going to be on Netflix from what I understand.
Especially with the physical media that is going away. Like,
yeah,
I think you got to have a place for that stuff.
Yeah, I think they're planning on it. It's probably going to be a tablet Peacock in the US or something. So some news broke that I love, and many might not care about this, but I love it. You remember a week or two ago, we talked about the rumors of WWE bringing back Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yeah.
And I said, please, WWE, can you please license the song Obsession by Animotion as the theme music? And so what do? They put out a trailer on the WWE socials yesterday, and the background of that trailer had Obsession by Animotion.
Hell of a song. Timeless.
And just the nostalgia. So it's going to be December 14. Nassau Coliseum is going to be the debut or the return of Saturday Night's Main Event. That made me so happy, Sean. And so I want to will a few more things into existence. The first one is Take Me Home by Phil Collins as the exit music when credits roll. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, you know, the promo compilations that they do before the intro music hits.
Yep.
I want to see that. And then number three, the background music that they play for the promo compilation, you know, the dun, 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 dun. I want to hear that music when they do the promo compilation. That would be amazing. When I was a kid, because wrestling fans today are kind of spoiled. When I was a kid, WWE weekly television and syndication, it was all squash matches, right? You remember that? And the big stars of the day, like Hulk Hogan, barely wrestled on the weekly television. Saturday Night's Main Event is where they had all the competitive matches and all the grudge matches, and Hogan always wrestled. And even Andre the Giant wrestled on Saturday Night's Main Event.
I want them. Sorry to interrupt.
Yep.
I wish they would keep the imagery, everything. I want the same logos.
Yes.
Same neon style things. Yes. I want all that stuff. Like that's. That is the most identifiable, like early 90s type of thing to me. Like, I just thought it was great. I love the way that the logo looked initially.
Yes.
Again, I love the Obsession thing. There was a white rapper here in Kentucky like 16 years ago who got a lot of airplay. He did like a cover version.
Oh, really?
Of that. Like, yeah. And it got a lot of airplay locally. That was my introduction to the song. Then I heard the original. I was like, oh, the original is so much better.
Yeah. And it fit the video, like the intro video, because when it got to the chorus of the song, they would hit Saturday Night's Main Event. Like they would time it to the music. It was a great piece of my childhood. And when I hear that music, it's very nostalgic to hear that, because so many great things happened on Saturday Night's Main Event. I mean, Hogan and Andre in the battle royal before WrestleMania 3. Do you remember that? Or are you too young for that?
I remember it, but not because I was watching it at the time.
Yeah. I did watch it at the time, and watching Andre toss him out, I really believed Andre was going to win the title at WrestleMania. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that was great. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I'm looking forward to it.
Here's an interesting thing. Brandon Charles Powell says, is Jesse Ventura expected to do commentary for the new Saturday Night main event? I wouldn't have him do commentary,
right?
But I don't think it's an accident that he signed that Legends deal or is signing the Legends deal right as they announce it, because I would have him do the intro for it. That's what I would do, because you're not going to have, you ain't going to have Vince doing it,
right?
Like you would see a lot of times in the past, but you can have Jesse Ventura do it. And
when you say the intro, really, what do you mean? What do you mean when you say the intro?
So I don't think that it'll be a direct copy and paste from the old Saturday night's main event type of thing. But do you remember how, like, on the, at the start of WWF pay-per-views, you would hear Vince and he would show like everybody in the Royal Rumble and all that?
Yeah, stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you could have like an early 90s, late 80s style opening video that has Jesse Ventura voicing it over or calling it or something like that. I'll tell you what's actually the most surprising thing about this whole thing to me, that they didn't do it in Orlando the night of World's End.
Because you talked about that before, right?
I thought that they would do it then. Pleasantly surprised that they didn't do it then.
Do you think Jesse Ventura still has it in him?
For a pre-recorded video, yeah.
Yeah? Did you see Chris?
They don't know who any of those people are. Yeah. I did not watch the Van Vliet interview.
So what I love about Jesse Ventura, do you remember the stories about Ed O'Neill? Ed O'Neill is an actor that I love because he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And Ed O'Neill has told stories, in case no one's heard this, where Britney Spears comes up to him in an airport asking for an autograph, and he has no clue who that is. He told a story about one time being approached by Taylor Swift for a selfie. He had no clue who she was, sent the picture to his daughter. I love that about him. So Jesse Ventura does this thing with Chris Van Vliet, right? And Chris Van Vliet brings out Karrion Kross live in the studio to do an impersonation. Ventura couldn't have cared less. You could just tell it on his face. Then Chris Van Vliet goes, I got somebody on FaceTime that wants to talk to you. And it was, what's his name? Will Sasso. And Ventura goes, who is he? Is he like an actor or something? Couldn't care less. And I love that about Jesse the Body Ventura. So I'd be curious if he would have it in him to still do it, but
just have Karrion Kross do it.
Maybe they could have Karrion Kross do it. He's not doing much else, right? Maybe they can utilize him better.
Fun fact about Ed O'Neill, aka Al Bundy.
Al Bundy.
He is a legitimate Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt.
Who trained with Punk a little bit.
Yeah, he's, I mean, and that takes, like, that's like a decade of work.
Yes.
Decade of work.
I love that O'Neill. I love him. He's just beyond.
Ryan says, hey, Sean, today PW Insider put out a report saying WWE is approaching people who still have time on their deals to sign new ones. Said they approached Rhea, Liv, and Nia. Can you confirm this? No, I can't confirm this, but I will ask. I'll ask about it. We had reported a while back that they had approached a number of people about signing deals ahead of time. But yeah, it's a bit of a change in their planning, as opposed to how things went this year, where Damian Priest was days away with the Money in the Bank briefcase from not re-signing. But it wouldn't surprise me. If I were them, I would probably be trying to sign people ahead of time as well. But I have not read that report. I have not seen those names mentioned or anything. But I'll dig into it. Yeah, for sure.
What do you think about the changing of the times as far as some WWE performers having their news of re-signing announced publicly on a big platform? Like Sheamus was McAfee, right?
Yeah, I mean, sort of. I think it was given to McAfee around the same time it was given to us, because I had asked last week. But I would prefer it be done all the time, because contract news is something that we've specialized in. If you go back and you look at headlines and stuff before probably 5 years ago, like sometimes it would get mentioned in passing, but to us, like, that's important information. To me, free agent signings and sports are always so interesting.
Yes, contracts, I agree.
Coming up and all that. So I was like, let's specialize in that. And obviously I think they see the value of the buzz around that, because it's done very, very well.
I agree. I mean, it legitimizes things. It makes it more sports oriented. I mean, they had The Rock do McIntyre. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that they're doing that. I want to talk to you about some very interesting news coming off NXT the last couple of weeks. The first one is, so October 8 is going to be the debut on the CW in St. Louis. And my first question for you is, they announced that they're moving the venue from the Enterprise Center in St. Louis, which has a capacity of about 18,000 for wrestling, to the Factory in Chesterfield, Missouri, which has a capacity of about 3,000. Enterprise was pretty ambitious. Did they do the move strictly because of tickets?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So the interesting news that came out of it this week. So anybody that's not a fan of AEW, and if you don't watch AEW, one of the things that I've always liked about AEW is that they would take a veteran top talent like a Kenny Omega or Bryan Danielson, and they put them in the ring with someone relatively new to the business, which is, it's interesting from a viewer perspective, and it's good for the young talent. They announced on NXT this week that on that debut episode, October 8, Randy Orton is going to take on Javon Evans. That's a massive opportunity for that kid.
Yes, it is.
Huge opportunity for that kid. What do you think of that?
I think it's great.
I do
too. You want your veteran talent to work with people like that. I mean, guy twice his age.
Yes.
I mean, Randy's been wrestling longer than Evans has been alive.
Yep.
So I think that is an incredible learning experience for him as well. And it makes an awful lot of sense. I like that NXT has become their little portal where everybody can go.
Yes.
Because previously it was like Raw and SmackDown. It's like, no, let's make NXT special as well. Let's make that a thing.
I think they're going to come up with one hell of an RKO spot because Javon is athletic. He's very athletic. So they're going to come up with something. And you talk about a meteoric rise. The kid's been there since February. I understand that he's been training and wrestling for a few years, but he's been in NXT since February. And now he's got a match against Randy Orton in a St. Louis suburb on live television. Good for that kid. That's a big opportunity for him. So I saw that and I thought that's fantastic. Good for him.
Few notes from our partner at BetOnline AG. Bad blood right now. Gunther, Liv Morgan over Rhea Ripley, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, and Damian Priest are all favored. And right now for the FTW title, they think Hook over Roderick Strong. They think Young Bucks over the sort of Aussie Open, Kyle Fletcher, Will Ospreay. And then they think Moxley over Darby Allin. Just wanted to pass those along because they just sent that one to me as well.
And I misspoke. I said that the CW debut is going to be the St. Louis episode. It's actually going to be the one in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I misspoke on the debut.
It's a hell of a follow-up too. Having Randy Orton on the second episode, that's a great follow-up. They loaded.
Yes.
Loaded those shows. Like, you got CM Punk on there. You've got Trick Williams versus Ethan Page for the title. Roxanne Perez and Julia for the title.
Yes.
Then you got Wentz and Wes Lee. That, incredible show. Can't wait to watch
Miz
that.
I think Miz as well, I believe. I think Miz is good as well.
Oh, yeah, boy. Okay. Mid-take says, do we see Lashley at WrestleDream? SRS, please ask AEW to run Hammerstein. Hammerstein is not an easy venue for TV. I wish they would. I wish AEW, whether it be for Collision or for ROH, would run venues like Hammerstein Ballroom. I think they should do that. I think that ROH should, they should make it into like mini PWG. They should do that. Like send, do a good 2-hour show there that's just insane. And people are like, I got to go there. There's only like 400, 500 tickets. I got to be there for that. It's filmed different. It looks different. It's a little grittier. I wish that. I think there is still a place for that in wrestling.
Do you watch The Bear?
I've watched a few episodes of it. It's pretty good.
Okay. So my wife and I watch it. We watch it on Disney Plus. And
The Bear! That's an Angry Beavers reference.
Okay, so the other night we're watching an episode, and who shows up, like as far as I was concerned, unannounced, not advertised, freaking John Cena. That guy is in everything. He's in everything. Yeah. He's in commercials and TV shows and movies. I feel like he says yes to everything pitched to him because he's in everything. And then I just saw that he's going to be in a movie now based on the Mattel Matchbox toy car line for Apple. John Cena's in everything. That guy must, the schedule he must keep is unbelievable. I couldn't believe that he just showed up on The Bear unannounced.
Is Bobby Lashley going to be at WrestleDream? I don't have anything guaranteed. I'll say he will be. I think he will be. Yes, John Cena's in everything. Shout out also, local OVW wrestler Cashflow was in Tulsa King Sylvester Stallone.
Really? What yep. What character?
Hell, I don't know. I think it's Bigfoot. I didn't watch this shit. I'm just happy
for
him.
Good. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, just happy for him.
Okay.
I really loved Batista's interview with Chris Van Vliet.
I did too.
That one was really good, and you can tell how humbled he's been.
I love that about him. The fact that Dave Batista would say, and he's being completely sincere, he doesn't know if he's done enough to be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
It's wild.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's you can't help but love the guy. Like anytime you see a Dave Batista interview, you can't help but love him. He's just so down to earth.
Ryan says, do you have any update on Xavier and Kofi's contracts? Read somewhere that their deals were up in 2024. In 2024, as WWE approached them about renewing, I believe they will have injury news or injury time added. So those aren't as hard as fast. I know what you're going to see is a whole lot of people reporting, oh, well, their contracts are up based on assumptions and vibes. There are a bunch of variables. Shonika says, I watched that episode of The Bear last night. Cena's character was wild. You need to watch that episode of Angry Beavers. Because the salmon are swimming upstream to spawn.
Go ahead. No, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you your thoughts on the New Day teasing a split when they've always said they would never love let it. That happen.
I love it. I love it. You got to evolve with the times,
right?
I know a lot of things can happen to adjust expectations. But I mean, Big E isn't around right now, and they've got to address that elephant in the room, or the Big E that's not in the room, so to speak. Like, you have to. They said what everybody was thinking. When Odyssey Jones got put in that spot, people thought that they were trying to replace Big E. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they said the quiet part out loud. Have Motor City Machine Guns fired Velveteen Dream yet? For those of you who don't understand that rib, we would do media calls with Triple H. And there was one time where Triple H was asked three times in a row, what was up with Velveteen Dream? Why hadn't they investigated him? What about these allegations? And there were still people that said, well, you guys just should have kept asking him until he finally answered it. You shouldn't have asked anything else. So it became a rib in the media to just say, you're on an MLW media call. Find out why they haven't fired Velveteen Dream. Go figure. Jimmy, what else you got? We got a few more minutes left.
I think that's all I got today. Oh, you know what?
Oh,
no,
man.
I do have one more thing.
I'm just kidding.
I want to give props to Joe Tessitore.
Oh my God, Joe Tessitore. He's great.
Tessitore. And like I said, I did not know him from anything except for boxing. That's the only thing I'd ever seen him do was
not
boxing.
Not a fight night round three guy, Jimmy.
I was not. Does he on that too? He's on that.
He did the commentary on the video games. He was really great.
Okay, well, I only knew him from boxing telecasts and ESPN, and he's only been doing the job for a couple weeks handling play-by-play. I think that he's doing a great job. Like, you can tell he's a student of the game. You can tell that he's putting in the work. I think that he brings a level of professionalism and a level of legitimacy to the role, and I think Wade Barrett has done a good job of filling in the gaps. Whenever there's, like, a pause because maybe Joe doesn't know what to say, Wade Barrett jumps in. I think he's doing a really good job, and I was curious because you know how many play-by-play guys they've gone through. I think Joe's done a really, really good job. Do you think Wade Barrett gets back in the ring with Drew McIntyre?
Yeah, I think he eventually does a match.
Very interesting.
And I think that, yeah, I'm excited for it. Like, why not? The buzz is there. Yeah. And Joe Tessitore, man, like, that guy conveys emotion really, really well. Like, he got so mad at Judgment Day getting involved. And I love that. You got to have that. The best Jim Ross calls were when he was emotional and he was mad and he was just flipping out over stuff. And that's what Joe did. And I think that he is killing it. He's doing great.
I think he is too. Yeah. Especially since it's only been a few weeks. So
yeah,
I wanted to give him props. That's all I got for you, bud. I got to go get my kid at the bus stop, which is the reason why I changed the time on this because of my kid's schedule. So.
Where's Omos? He's fine. Occasionally they use him for live events. They haven't had creative plans for him, unfortunately. But I've got a plan for you guys. FightfulSelect.com. Listen, I know there's a lot to spend money on in this world. $5 a month. It supports original creators like us. You know, occasionally aggregators will go out and take stuff. There ain't one aggregator I haven't had to correct on a Fightful Select story. And we're constantly adding. Every Monday now, I've combined the Q&A show with the Backstage Report. It's usually about 40 minutes to an hour. I am now doing Select Answers, where I give text-based Q&A as well. We got contract news and AEW. I'll say some interesting contract news that has not changed and will be interesting to see how creatively it unfolds. $5 a month or $54 a year. We have had Fightful Select for 6.5 years. It has not raised the price one time. That's how much we care about you, by God. Jimmy's thought about it.
I have.
Jimmy's thought about it.
Inflation is real. There's another one from Van Twinblade has one.
I see it.
Okay.
Inflation is real, but we're trying our best. $5 a month. If you don't like it after 1 month, by God, never come back, my friends. Van Twinblade says, Sir Patrick Stewart reading Not Like Us as Loki. He was doing Shakespeare replacing N-word with fellows. Oh boy.
One thing.
No, that was not a shot at Meltzer. Get that bullshit out of here. It was a shot at inflation, is what it was a shot at.
Yeah, inflation.
It wasn't a shot at Meltzer. Get out of here.
One thing for Mr. Patrick Short asking about Omos. At of all places, a couple weeks ago, he was at the Joey Chestnut Netflix special. Him and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
I watched it.
So. Yeah, I heard that Cam Hawkins, who just got hired by the Uncrowned. Of Yahoo. He was watching that Joey Chestnut Kobayashi, like he was looking like Birdman with the hand rub type of thing. He sent me, so Jimmy, the Bengals' first game of the season, Joey Chestnut was the halftime entertainment show. Joey Chestnut literally outscored the Cincinnati Bengals that day. He ate 18 hot dogs. And I got this message from Cam Hawkins, and it was just the Dolph Ziggler meme where he's down there and it says, it should have been me, like that. And I was like, Cam, that's bold, but hey, man, whatever you want to do. And and then it's so weird because Cam Hawkins was like sending me betting lines. He's like, honestly, I had the over. And I go, okay, I didn't even know you could bet on this, Cam.
Over on what? On how many?
How many glizzies that Chestnut and Kobayashi. Like, Cam really had this. First off, he's got a false sense of confidence in his own abilities. But I think Cam believes because he can do it, everybody can do it.
Uh-huh.
And that's just not always the case. Guys,
I'm saying one more thing. Did you hear about why the Chestnut Netflix special happened?
Well, yeah, because they banned him.
Right. And you know why they banned him?
Because he's too damn good. Because it was some third-party sponsor.
It was a sponsor of like a fake meat product, like a non-meat product. So, but good for him. I'm sure he made a lot more on Netflix than he would have doing that Nathan's Hot Dog thing. So good for him.
Indeed.
And guys, he got to meet Omos.
Yeah, that's also true. Omos is a great guy.
Yes, he
Until
is.
Next time, guys, we're out.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.